Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Still to come on the program, former state senator, friend of the program, Dick Brubaker will join us from up in Montgomery, so make sure you stick around for that. A real quick teaser, tomorrow on the program, Congressman Gary Palmer of the 6th Congressional District and from Yellowhammer News, Sean Ross, in addition to some other guests to be named later. 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. If you want to weigh in on anything, text message works really well. So give it a shot. Let us know what you're thinking. Joining us now, a former colleague of mine, but good to get back in touch with him. Certainly had a profound impact on Alabama politics last week. Patrick Calley from National File. If you haven't heard, John Merrill embroiled in another one of these scandals that seems to be prevalent in Alabama politics in Montgomery, but was a big part of breaking the story. It was Patrick Calley. Good morning, Patrick. How you doing, man?
Jeff, it's good to be here. I'm doing just fine, and my regards to Caroline, and it's good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you as well. So when we saw this story, I mean, the salacious details notwithstanding, but, it's certainly a disappointing story. I'm well aware of how this works and sources, and I'm not going to ask you to get into that, but kind of what you can talk about, how you stumbled upon this and really kind of the pathway you went down to breaking the story.
Yeah, so, you know, John Merrill is somebody who was going to run for Senate. He was going to be the establishment pick for Senate. And in my view, he was going to be a vote for Mitch McConnell. He was going to be an automatic vote for Mitch McConnell anyway. The fact that this scandal was, that this information was out there only leads me to suspect that Karl Rove and Mitch McConnell and the boys, the guys that we used to take on back in the day at the Daily Caller, you know, that they were going to use this to blackmail him, and then he would totally be a vote for Mitch McConnell. And when I say a vote for Mitch McConnell, I mean a vote for open borders, a vote for mass immigration, a vote for all of the stuff that President Donald Trump didn't want to do, that he wanted to change the party for the America First side, because I believe that we need to close the border. I believe that we need to restrict immigration, and we can't be doing the bidding of the Chamber of Commerce, which is basically what Mitch McConnell has turned the Republican Party into. So I was happy to expose John Merrill. I believe that just the fact that he was betraying the public trust by using state taxpayer resources to go over there and have his affair. He was using an official phone, which was damaged in one of his fights with his mistress. And the most damning part was the fact that he was having physical fights with her, and she said that she had bruises on her. So, you know, John Merrill's a guy who, you know, I've heard from him since the story has come out. I don't wish him any ill will, you know, but I exposed him, and ultimately he decided not to run for the U.S. Senate.
Well, beyond the use of the cell phone, talk a little more about that, state resources being used. Because I think if there's any liability for him for this whole affair, I mean, personal life is what it is, but it's going to be in that realm of using public resources to carry on this affair. What do you know about that you could talk about?
So he would use his state car as Secretary of State to visit her house. He would also use his state car to go up to the Sizzler and have these meetings. He was apparently constantly doing deals. And, you know, this is a guy who was paying for hotels, and he was paying for sex toys, and he was spending a lot of money, and he even gave her a gift, which was a sex manual. And so there's a number of different ethical concerns here that I think people could delve deeper into. There's also the matter that she said, Sarah McPherson said, that she tape recorded one of their intimate encounters. And so when you have a tape like that out there, it's similar to the story that I did on Cal Cunningham in North Carolina, where, you know, if somebody can blackmail you, whether it's Mitch McConnell, whether it's Vladimir Putin, whether it's Chairman Xi, okay, and you're applying to be a U.S. senator potentially to have sensitive intelligence, then it's in the public interest to know what's out there about you.
Well, talk about this part of it. I heard you on with my friend Matt Murphy on a few days ago, but you said that dealing with him, trying to let him respond to these allegations, which he has since acknowledged, it really wasn't a pleasant experience for either side, I suppose.
Well, it was, there's always this period in between when I break a story where the politician denies it and disparages me. And then a number of reporters, this happened with Ralph Northam, it happened with, many of the different stories that I've done. And then the scribe media goes, and they say I'm a scumbag, and they dig up old Media Matters from when we worked together. And, oh, this guy's trash. And, they trash me for probably about 12 hours. And then ultimately the politician is forced to admit that this is what happens and, apologizes. And then they never update the hit pieces that they do on me. But I truly believe that investigative journalism is a righteous thing to do. I believe that it's a skilled craft. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy exposing politicians. And I'm not getting rich doing this by any means. So, I do it because I truly believe that politicians need to be exposed. And I believe that the energy is on the side of the people right now to throw out entrenched incumbents and to bring in America First candidates who are like Mo Brooks, for instance, who President Donald Trump endorsed the day after I did this story. And I honestly, truly believe that citizens are going to replace the Republican establishment.
Now, for our listeners, I've been teasing this interview this morning. You were the guy that initially found that yearbook photo of Ralph Northam in the blackface or the Klan row. We never figured out which one, right, as far as I could tell. But it was captioned. It was clearly the current sitting governor of the state of Virginia.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And he admitted to it at first, and then he tried to take back his admission, and then he almost danced like Michael Jackson, which I wish he had done. So that was one of the things that I've done. And, that's what I do. I investigate politicians. I find out what they're doing, and I expose them. So I think it's a totally righteous pursuit because these people are making decisions about how this country is run. And these people now, when you're talking about governors, you're talking about masking little kids, talking about putting a mask over little kids' faces so they can't breathe through their nose and mouth. I mean, the government has taken so much power in recent months, and these people need to be exposed now more than ever.
Joined by Patrick Calley of National File here on the program. Patrick, back to the Merrill saga. You say that using state office to carry out this affair, do you think it rises to the level of warranting some kind of investigation by maybe the attorney general, or do you think there's anything there for a grand jury to look at, or an ethics probe? Do you think it rises to that occasion?
That's for people to debate, and that's not really for me to say. I'm not somebody who is working with the feds. Certainly, I think you know me, Jeff. I'm not right. I'm not somebody who interacts with the feds.
I guess when I ask you that question, I don't mean your personal opinion. I guess just knowing what you know and knowing what the facts are, that could it rise to the level of criminal, or is it just that since he's withdrawn from politics for now, that maybe that is sufficient enough? I don't know. I mean, should taxpayer resources be used to look into this?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, that's a determination for, I guess, the attorney general. Obviously, the taxpayer resources were used to carry out the affair, which is an ethical concern. But, this is a guy who I believe was instrumental in the push to expand absentee ballot so-called access, which is something that we on the Trump side don't want to see, because absentee ballot and paper ballots are the mechanism of cheating, as we saw in Philadelphia with Ruby Friedman pulling the ballots out from underneath the table late at night, Milwaukee, etc. during this election. We don't want to see a repeat of 2020. And if you go back to 2017 during the Roy Moore election, I believe that it was John Merrill who was not investigating the massive allegations of voter fraud, including when you have like young college kids caught on tape saying, "We came from all over the country to vote in Alabama for Doug Jones," right? And how much did Roy Moore lose by, like, a point or so after Mitch McConnell tried, spent millions of dollars trying to kibosh his own candidate? So, John Merrill is somebody who I don't think is on the side of the people. And I know that some people do like him, but you know, this is a story that I'm happy to expose. He didn't have to pull out of the Senate race. He has not resigned. And, you know, it's on him now. And so, you know, I'm happy to expose him, and I expose people in both parties.
Patrick, in any of your reporting, did you find it this possibility that carrying out this affair or whatever might have interfered with his duties as Secretary of State? And I ask this question for this reason. I mean, we're at a point right now in our politics where it seems there's a premium on election integrity. And as the state's chief election officer, that you need to be on the up and up. The public just demands this trust in the electoral process. Did you find that carrying out any of this, did it seem like it could have interfered with any of his elected duties?
Well, it sounded like there was a lot of gossip going on. It sounded like, you know, when he, you know, the mistress was calling up his wife, and, you know, that was an issue. There was an instance where they were all at dinner together, and apparently it was very awkward at some kind of political function. People who worked for Merrill were aware that this was going on, and there was some volatile situation with the mistress. So when you have something like that, and when you have something where you're desperate to try to cover it up, as John Merrill was, then by osmosis, some way or another, it's going to affect the job that you're doing. And it's going to affect the way that people look at you who are in the know, who are involved in politics. And, you know, John Merrill was constantly making deals, including in front of her. And, you know, who knows what he was even doing when he goes up to the Sizzler and he meets with business people. But, you know, this is a guy who clearly, I think, by virtue of the fact that he was an office holder, had a little bit of an ego. And once these politicians get an ego, that, you know, they're... it's hard to hold them accountable.
Well, and you mentioned the gossip aspect. Does it go beyond that? Do you think anybody in his office that worked under him was privy to this, and maybe perhaps was a part of hiding it or shielding it from the public?
Well, you know, so Sarah McPherson said that there was an instance where John showed up, and it was a bit vulgar, but he had sort of the residue of a sexual encounter on his suit when he came in, and she told somebody who worked for him that this was the case, and that was the first that she had found, that the worker had found out about the affair. There was an instance in which, you know, John Merrill had to go in and get his cell phone fixed after she, the mistress, Sarah McPherson, damaged it, and so he was extremely paranoid that somebody was going to find out what was on the phone, and so he was, you know, super paranoid about it and waiting for the phone to be fixed. And there was an instance, and I didn't even put this in the original story, and I do not have evidence that John Merrill was involved in this, but Cecilia McPherson felt that she was run off the road at one point when she was driving, and that to her, she speculated that it might have had something to do with this affair. Again, I don't have evidence to say that, which is why I didn't put it in the article. But in her mind, you know, she felt like she was a loose end that John Merrill needed to tie up some way or another. And a Secretary of State has a good deal of power, especially in a state where, you know, there's a political machine, as you know, Jeff, and I think on both sides, that, you know, is not always super ethical, which is why your show is so great at exposing those people.
Well, and let me ask you one more question. You mentioned the residue part of it. Was this affair being carried out during normal business hours?
You know, my understanding is that this was going on sometimes during normal business hours, is my understanding, and it was going on certainly during the week on weekdays. At night, he would go over to her house, or on weekends. And so it was a lot of activity. There was a lot of activity there. And so certainly it was interfering with his work week.
Well, it's fascinating. But, hey, Patrick, we're up against a break here. But thanks for making time for us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. That was Patrick Halley of National File joining us. We got to get a timeout in here, catch our breath after that. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Song of the South, sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth.